I'm Matt Katz, in for Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. On this show, we've been closely following the way various groups are working to avoid being undercounted in the census. And today, we're looking at the challenges for African-American and Black African immigrant groups. Now, those are two very different groups, but in the last census, they were counted under the same racial category. The 2020 census has changed that, allowing African immigrant groups to choose from five options: Nigerians, Jamaicans, Haitians, Ethiopians, and Trinidadians and Tobagonians. Before the COVID-19 pandemic took hold of the U.S., The Takeaway's Duarte Geraldino spoke with two people directly working with those groups to make sure they're counted in the census.
My name is Jerry Green, and I am the 2020 Census Senior Advisor for the National Urban League.
My name is Abdurrahman Mahmoud. I'm the founder and the director of Tuinist, an online platform that connects immigrant job seekers to employers here in Minnesota. And I'm an immigrant advocate.
Duarte asked Jerry why the African-American community has been historically underrepresented.
The National Urban League has been looking at this issue since at least the last 50 years and noticing that we have been undercounted. In fact, in the 1970 census, the Census Bureau said that we were hard to count because we were coming out of the 1960s with the civil rights movement and things like that.
So, Jerry, when the objective is to make sure that Black people in the U.S. are counted, what challenges do census workers and community groups face?
Basically, there's fear and distrust in our community. That's essentially it. The African-American community does not believe that the government has its best interests at heart and therefore is reluctant to provide information to it. Many in our community don't understand or appreciate the power of the count. And it seems, of course, that on the other side, the power of the Black count has always been evident, which is why it has been suppressed for so many years over the course of, you know, decades and decades. But not understanding the power of the count, that the Black count can change political circumstances, that is political power and representation, and then not understanding how much resources, and these are not free resources, these are resources that we've paid for with our own taxes, program funding, almost $1 trillion in federal funding is reallocated to communities across the country based on the census count. So whether it's for SNAP and WIC, Pell Grants, funding for school lunch programs, Head Start, transportation, roads, and those things, there's just not enough information or awareness about the importance of those numbers.
Abdurrahman, you work with Black immigrants in Minneapolis to make sure the census counts them. What do you think are the major challenges for African immigrants there?
When working with the Black immigrant communities here in Minneapolis and a lot of leaders that were doing, what we figure out is that immigrants, they have some sort of like immigrant background or refugee background, and they usually don't trust authority. And people are kind of like fearful when a stranger knocks their doors and asks them questions, and they don't know how to approach and what to answer. And they always kind of like try to not fully disclose their information.
How do you and the community organizers who are trying to make sure that this group of people living in the U.S. are counted do it, given that challenge?
Educating the people about the census process is number one. And also educating people about how the census information that's collected will impact their lives in the coming decade. And when we sit down with elders and community leaders and we educate them, they usually understand the importance and how this will impact their life. But the other challenge that we have is that the resource to do the job. We are a group of volunteers that's really dedicated to do this job, but we don't have the resources needed to do the job. We don't have enough volunteers. I wish we could have a lot of volunteers that are bilinguals that can help people with the forms.
I'd like to also kind of echo the fact that the folks in our community don't want to share information because they fear it's going to be shared with local law enforcement officials. Because of the prison industrial complex and mass incarceration, we have a disproportionate number of people, Black and brown, who are going into the prison system, and about 700,000 return home each year across the country. And so, of course, right there, we have an instant population that is already distrustful of providing information to the government.
So 700,000 people who were previously incarcerated get released every year, and you're seeing that among that group of 700,000 men and women, a large portion are reluctant to be counted on the census.
Absolutely. There's just a distrust that the Census Bureau is going to share that information with law enforcement, parole officers, or whatever.
What about the categories themselves, Jerry? We understand that there are some major changes in the way that Black people living in the U.S. are categorized by the U.S. Census.
There is a change. In the 2010 census, full disclosure, I was a Census Bureau employee a few years ago and was there in 2010 when the race question, we got calls from everywhere because in the race question for Black, your choices were, are you Black, African am, which I'm still trying to figure out what an African am is, or are you a Negro?
So what's a Negro versus...
Right. And that's what we got calls about. Young people from everywhere called the Census Bureau. And so after the Census Bureau did a lot of work, a great deal of work, research over the decade, we often heard from members of our African diaspora that they didn't see themselves in this race question, Black, African, am, Negro. And so the Census Bureau has now added, after much advocacy on behalf of Caribbean and African populations, they've added examples into the Black question. So what you have now are examples where you can see in the Black question, Nigerian, Jamaican, Ethiopian, Haitian, and other populations so that the broader Black immigrant population can see itself. And if you don't like those examples, you can write in your own.
Do you think, given these changes, that the recorded portion of Black people in the U.S. will increase?
It's about education. So we are holding hands and bringing the National Urban League is indeed working with organizations that represent Black immigrants like BAJI, the Black Alliance for Just Immigration, and things like that to make sure we get the word out. We are hoping that it will increase the Black count. But we are concerned about disinformation campaigns that are surfacing already to diminish the Black count.
Abdulrahman, how do you feel that these new categories of Blackness in America might affect the large refugee population in Minnesota?
In Minnesota, we have the largest Somali diaspora or Somali American community in the whole United States. And what happens is, if you are a Somali immigrant and you were born in Africa, they will consider you as African-born. But your children who were born in Minneapolis or in Minnesota, they will be considered as African-Americans. You see authorities in here in Minnesota, they always say Somali population in Minnesota, they are only 45,000. When in reality, when you talk to the people, they tell you like, hey, we are more than 150. Because all the Somali kids that are born in Minnesota or in the United States, they are not categorized as Somalis. They are categorized as African Americans. So now what we have in here is an opportunity for all African immigrants to categorize themselves the way they want.
Jerry, what are some of the big issues when it comes to the 2020 census that we just didn't see in 2010?
First of all, the census will be the first online census for the entire population. There were some experiments in the past. So issues of cybersecurity are very important this time. And we also have concerns about hacking. We're already seeing some disinformation, the weaponization of social media. We're concerned about that. Of course, that wasn't an issue in the previous census. We already have a situation where the Republican Party is using the census to misrepresent basically the census questionnaire. Republican Party has kind of co-opted the census questionnaire and have sent it out to thousands of people across the country as a fundraising mechanism. We've had complaints about that. Of course, there was the citizenship question that was out there that it will not be on the census form. We're really concerned about the fear that still exists in immigrant communities, that there's a citizenship question on the form that's going to ask if they are, you know, citizens or not citizens. So we think there's going to be some spillover fear about that as well.
Abdulrahman, what do you say now to people in your community to get them to open the door and be counted? What's that pitch that you make to them?
The main pitch that we made to people is that the census is one is a decade, an opportunity that the community to claim their position within the state, within the economy, within the politics, within everything, all the decisions that will be made. So we pitched to them, if we don't participate 100% or not fully counted at this time, then we're losing a lot, because within the African diaspora community, there are a lot of them are really business minded. A lot of them are homeowners. A lot of them are doing good in education, in business, and entrepreneurial thing. And when it comes to the reputation or the community reputation, we can improve through the census.
Abdurrahman Mahmoud is an immigrant advocate in Minneapolis, and Jerry Green is the 2020 Census Senior Advisor for the National Urban League. Thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you can find all of our 2020 Census coverage at thetakeaway.org/2020census.